This is Ozarks at Large. Packing for the summer vacation might require sunscreen, a map or GPS device, and, for many of us, a book or two thrown into the suitcase. But if you've exhausted the collected works of your favorite authors or just want something different, how do you find something worth your time? Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellum sought out three opinions on how to find a good book.
It is a common observation, the desire to have more time to read all the books worth reading. Not many of us feel we have that time, but surely, if you're a librarian or you own a bookstore, you do, right?
Wouldn't it be nice?
Heather Robidoux is Assistant Manager of Adult Services at the Fayetteville Public Library. We also heard the commiserating laughter from Lisa Sharp, owner of Nightbird Books on Dixon Street in downtown Fayetteville. I asked the two of them about the process of finding books to read. Lisa, the bookstore owner, says her way of picking a book to read has changed over time.
It used to be, you know, whatever people are talking about, whatever, you know, caught my fancy. And now I try to read books that are coming out shortly so that I can, you know, recommend them or decide if I want to stock them. Publishers, it's lovely when the UPS man comes because I almost always have at least a dozen advanced copies of books. And out of that, maybe two or three are things that I might want to keep in the store. And so that's what I read. Two or three times a year, I reward myself with a book that I just want.
Yeah, how often do you get to read something that is purely for pleasure?
Most of what I stock in the store is stuff I would want to read at some point. So a lot of the advanced readers that I read are books that, you know, I'm enjoying. They just might not be my first choice.
Heather?
Probably once every month or two. I mean, I'll have time to just pick up something purely for pleasure. But so much of what I read that is tied in with something else is still pleasurable. It just may not have been my very first choice on the top of my reading list.
So let's start with the professional world, because people like me will come in, Lisa, and say, what should I get? What's good? You have book clubs. So you have this sort of sense of responsibility a little bit.
It's
so
true.
How do you determine out of those, that UPS delivery that brings a dozen, how do you determine which two or three or five or six you might read?
Well, my husband made a joke once that I read the bad books so you don't have to, which is sometimes true. I might go through, you know, the first half of a book and say, you know, this is just absolutely not for us and won't read it. I do look for authors that I know people are aware of. I get book recommendations from other booksellers. Even when we get those advanced copies, there's other booksellers who have said, this was great, you should try it. So we all depend on each other for recommendations. There's no way that anybody can know of every book out there.
Yeah. How do I have it for the book clubs?
For the book clubs, we've got different types, but we try to have kind of a balance of all sorts of different things. So a lot of our first call through things are through book reviews, and we'll make a list and we kind of divide them up as a committee and read different things and say what this has a lot of things to talk about, current issues, things we know Fayetteville or the area would like. We have a pretty good sense of the folks that come to those. But we'll make all year long, we have a running list of things, of prospects that we run into. So and then we make the hard decisions when it comes time to select for the next year.
I walk in and say, you know what? I don't want to read what I've been reading. I want something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever get that? It's like, So what do you do for someone who
well, first
makes
you
that
find
impossible
out,
request?
You've got to find out what they've been reading so you're not in the same pool. That's one of the areas where, the fiction versus nonfiction, even maybe some poetry, go something really, really out there. If they want to experiment, it's pretty easy. Short stories, if they only read novels or only read mysteries and want something different, you can jump to a different style of writing and often satisfy kind of that new experimentation that they want. And there's a lot of great authors out there, so it's usually not too hard.
To me, it's thrilling when somebody comes in and says, recommend a book to me, because that's what I'm trying to do is put books in people's hands. And I read pretty widely, so I can usually find something in a section that they haven't read from, or I've got booksellers who have, because we talk to each other about what we've read, so it's not just me. It's like the library staff. I'm sure y'all share book reviews with each other. So I just kind of pull on what I've liked and try some things.
If someone says, okay, I know that I want to read more and I want to expand, what's the best way to do that. I like to look at the New York Times book review, but what mm-hmm. happens there is I get overwhelmed because I'll circle nine books.
I do that too.
And it's like, well, I don't have $2,000 to spend this week. So, and then they kind of go away. So what would you recommend for people who are searching?
Well, the American Booksellers Association puts out a monthly promotional material with books that were recommended by booksellers across the country. And that is, I think, about 25 books. A lot of times it's authors you don't know. So it's always a good starting place if you've read everything by your favorite author and you don't know where to go. I pick up a lot of books from that. And then, you know, just talk to people. Mm-hmm. People that you trust. You've got right. a certain list of people that you'll trust.
You develop it over time.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That brings up an interesting point. And I may be romanticizing here, but I think there was a time before I was an adult where people would meet at parties and they would actually, many of them, have read the same book. Mm-hmm. That phenomenon doesn't seem to exist, partly because there's so many things you can read. But, you know, Ernest Hemingway used to be on the cover of Life. William Faulkner was a household name. I don't know of many living authors that you would call household names that are considered really good authors consistently.
I don't remember the number, but it's a very low percentage of people who read more than one book a year. Which surprises me because those are not the people that I surround myself with. But and I think people just don't read as much, so they don't have it to talk about. They may talk about playing Candy Crush or Angry mm-hmm. Birds or something. But.
Well, and I think the reading has changed. A lot of people are reading online. They're getting their news online. They're reading articles and things through mobile devices. Well, some of it is download. We're really encouraging the downloadable books. But I think it's just the whole picture of what reading is has changed with technology.
Heather Robidoux is Assistant Manager of Adult Services at the Fayetteville Public Library. We also heard from Lisa Sharp, owner of Nightbird Books on Dixon Street in Fayetteville. Originally, the plan was to have three people together in the same room to talk about their methods of discovering a good book or a new author. But if scheduling enough time for reading is difficult, imagine getting people together to talk about reading. It's even harder. So the third opinion I sought out had to come to our studio later. Nicholas Claro is a writer and also an avid reader. Do you read a lot?
I do.
Nicholas doesn't work at a library. He doesn't own a bookstore. He says most of the reading he does is purely for the pleasure of reading.
You know, I started out reading, you know, the old classics, the Hemingway and a lot of old Russian folks and stuff like that. And then when I was at school, you know, when I started writing my own fiction, you know, you're in class with a lot of other people who are doing the same. And, you know, it's kind of like, oh, well, you know, who do you read? Like, who's your influence? And then we kind of swapped.
So let's say you wake up on a Tuesday morning or a Tuesday, you get off work on a Tuesday afternoon and you want to pick up a new book. Do you always know what it's going to be?
No, not always. I mean, you know, there's still a lot of books on my shelf that I've yet to read, but they've been recommended. And so just, you know, I'll either peruse that shelf or, you know, there's Nightbird or the Dixon Bookstore, which are great. And, you know, kind of go along there and talk to Matt or Chris down there and ask them what, you know, they're reading or have read. So never a clear idea, but usually I find something that I enjoy.
Do you ever seek out book reviews like literary journals or the New York Times book review section or anything like that?
I don't. I would rather get an opinion from somebody who, you know, I've, you know, had things passed off that have been good. And, you know, general reviews I typically don't pay too much attention to.
Do people ask you for recommendations?
Yeah, you know, my circle of friends who, you know, we all write, we'll come across, you know, sitting down, end up inevitably talking about writing our books and be like, hey, you know, I read this. Good friend of mine in town, Tom Cochran, every time we get together for a beer, you know, he's bringing me, you know, a short story from the New Yorker that he's photocopied or a book. And so he and I swap.
Well, you know, and you bring up an interesting point because I've been concentrating on books, on novels or collections. That's not the only place to find fiction or nonfiction that you want to read, is it?
No, I mean, now, you know, with Facebook and Twitter and all these, you know, social media apps and all that stuff, I mean, you know, scrolling through and, you know, it'll have a blurb of a writer and, you know, that's how, you know, you can find a ton of stuff is online. There's, you know, the New Yorker, Harper's, there's Best American Short Stories, which, you know, all these little collections and anthologies they put out. And so,
let's say I release you into a bookstore. Let's say I release you into Dixon Street Bookstore. I tell you, you're going to be in there for 3 hours. You're going to come away with four books. But I don't want it to be by any book to be by someone you've read before.
Oh, wow.
But you can explore. How would you go about that? Or have you even, or is it even possible to think about how you go about that?
I mean, yeah, I mean, those shelves are packed, but I mean, I would say, you know, just pick something off. I mean, a lot of the times, there will be an author blurb on the back, and let's say, Robert Boswell says something good about this book, chances are I'll pick it up and at least give that a try. So I guess going back to reviews and all that stuff, it's kind of the same deal. The general reviews I won't pay attention to, but, if an author blurbs a book that I've not heard of, chances are I'll pick it up.
So it can be overwhelming because there are more books and there's more access to books than ever before. What if someone says, hey, I just want to, I've read everything by my, I've gone through Hemingway, I've gone through Faulkner, I've gone through whomever, I've gone through Joyce Carol's. I want to find something new, maybe even something different than I've read. What's the best way for someone to find out something else to read?
Apart from just, asking circles of friends, I would say, especially if they're trying to find a new author, pick up these, these little anthologies. I found so many short fiction writers that I absolutely revere over the last few years just by, reading one story and then looking at, I still remember that New Stories from the South, I believe, and it was edited by Amy Hempel, and there's a story in there called Retreat by Wells Tower that was amazing. And then, Googled his name and then realized that the year prior he had come out with a collection called Everything Ravaged, Everything Burned, and, picked that up, devoured it, and, little outlets like that seemed to help out.
Nicholas Claro is a writer and avid reader and one of three people whose opinion I sought out to figure out how to find good, unfamiliar books to spend time with this summer. It wasn't that long ago, at the dawn of the digital age, predictions were made about the demise of the library and the locally owned independent bookstore. But the obituary was written too early, and that's partly because, as Heather Robidoux from the Fayetteville Public Library and Lisa Sharp from Nightbird Books point out, those places are more than just books. You go over to the library any day of the week, and there's all sorts of things happening.
Yes, it's certainly it's entertainment, it's learning of in all capacities, from programming, like I say, different technologies just to experience it, even if you're not there to use it. Just sometimes people will come in just to kind of see what something is, to experience it. And you just never know what you're going to run into at the library. We're always doing new things.
Yeah,
so
it's lots of fun.
It is. It's lots of fun, and it's constantly evolving. And while it's challenging to keep up with, it's challenging for everyone to keep up with. So we're there, a place for the community to come in and just kind of experiment.
And Lisa, at Nightbird, you're about to have your
Eighth!
Really, 8th anniversary.
Yes.
Your space there on Dixon, you might walk in. There's music. There might be a club, a book club. There might be a reader, an author. So you're going to celebrate, right?
Yes, we are. July 7th through 12th, every day of the week, we're going to do something that we do all year long. But for this one week, we're asking you to pay for what you come to do at the bookstore, because we really do want to be a community place, just like the library, a place where readers and writers can come together. But, we're a bookstore, and it takes a little help from the community to stay in business.
Finally, one last question for all three of the readers I talked to. Is there a book so good that you read it over and perhaps over again?
Tinkers by Paul Harding. It's a gem of a book, a little tiny, thin book that looks like a fast read, but it is just a slow wash right over you. It's just a brilliant book. I highly recommend it. So every so often, I have to pick that one up and reread it.
Possession by A.S. Bio was the one I read every year.
Yeah, there's a few short story collections by Tobias Wolff, like Our Story Begins. I tried to read Anna Karenina once a year during the holidays. And then, I read a lot of short fiction, so the stuff that I revisit are typically collections.
Thanks to Nicholas Claro, Lisa Sharp, and Heather Robidoux for their time and their recommendations. And if there is an undiscovered gem you think we should know about, perhaps even read more than once, send us your book suggestions, and we'll pass them along as the summer continues. You can email your recommendations to ozarksatlarge@gmail.com. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Kyle Kellums.